listening to Parent Projects.
From story to benefits, when you've got to deal with a family member that you're pretty sure they're a veteran, but you're not sure where that starts, and in front of you lays the whole healthcare system, we've got answers for that today. We've got Tom McCoy. We're going to walk through how you work from story to benefits, what to expect as you start unpacking things and you work in the system, and just take that mess and try to give a little smoother things. With Tom McCoy, commander of the Arizona Disabled American Veterans. You're going to want to stay tuned.
You're listening to Parent Projects, a family media and technology group production. Now here's your host, Tony Sievers.
Hey, welcome in this week, crew, and we're broadcasting live as always, and then we'll repost afterwards. I'm Tony Sievers, and I am the host here at the Parent Projects podcast. I have with me Tom McCoy, who is the commander of the Arizona Disabled American Veterans. He sits up here. Tom, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this is an organization I belong to. I've been involved with DAV since I came back from Iraq in 2007, is when I became aware of you. I always make a point to go out and say, just up front, thank you for your service and what you do. And I know it's hard for us as veterans sometimes to know where to respond to that, but really, you step in every day in so many different hats, and we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so we've got a couple of real important things that we want to unpack related to when a family member might believe, how they might recognize that VA healthcare is, first of all, needed, or that they have a veteran, what type of issues have set out there, where to go. To them, they look at it. You've got the healthcare system, your benefit system, you've got how does that interact with maybe state systems and Medicaid systems or all techs here in the state, or there's so many different layers of it. Today we're hoping to peel the onion back a little bit. Up front right away, we've had a great conversation earlier today, and I'd really like to talk about what are some of the first things that a family member may see with veteran that as they're getting older and that they may have to step into, where a family member might have to recognize it and begin approaching some of those issues. What do you guys see at VA?
So we run into a lot of situations where the adult veteran and the family has gotten older and is less able to care for himself.
Yeah.
And the children of that veteran now need to step in and help that veteran, and they are unaware of any of the processes or procedures that they need to follow to get that care for the veteran.
Yeah, some will say maybe they've just heard a war story, but some might be anger or these other, those types of...
Yeah, war stories, anxiety, nightmares, injuries that they've incurred during the military service that they've never seek treatment for before. All are things that the VA can help them with, and the DAV can help them get claims for those disabilities.
Yeah, and well, for everybody here, we've got Harley that has joined us as well, your service companion that helps. And so you see some movement sitting behind us or where that is. It's not haunted. We're actually live today from Manor House. And Manor House, we work with the Refuge Coffee Company. This is actually where that's done. And if you didn't catch the episode earlier today with Steve Capobres and John, this area in Manor House catches those that maybe didn't get caught by a family member. And they end up, one thing that I've seen in the homelessness, particularly out of the veteran population, is they all tend to share in common, they don't have family. They don't have family that stepped in. So the fact that you're a family member and you see it in the first place, kudos for making that recommendation.
Yes.
So now we're going to unpack a couple of these things. So you've got memories that are starting to come up, or maybe now it's combining with medical issues that might come. Dad says, I hurt my back in a Humvee accident when I rolled over in an ammo can and slammed into my back and hurt my coccyx or whatever.
Right.
Now we've got to turn that into something or something to work to. There are two main offices of the VA, and you can currently got to get started in them. What are they, and what's the difference between those branches?
So the Veterans, Department of Veterans Affairs consists of two administrations. One is the Veterans Health Administration. The other is the Veterans Benefits Administration. The Health Administration provides hospitals and care facilities across the country. And the Benefits Administration provides benefits to service-connected disabilities for veterans who suffered injuries in the military.
And in general, those military, we think of there's combat-related stuff, but it really is when, as a commander myself in the military, I'd have to explain to you have a certain, you came into the military a certain way, and Uncle Sam made assessments during the course of your military career. The moment you walked in at Beards, and then afterwards as they processed you, they took a snapshot of your health, and they did that again probably a couple of times in your career. But when you left and out crossed, they definitely took another snapshot. And the change between A and B represents really what we're talking about as something that might be service-related disabilities. Agreed?
Exactly.
Yeah. And when family members are going through those things, how often do vets have those medical records or have that kind of stuff? How often do you see that they have all that stuff?
Yeah, 9 times out of 10, the veteran has left the military service without his service jacket or his medical records.
Okay.
So then we have to retrieve those medical records from the military, and at the same time we need to get the veteran health care recorded,
yeah,
so that we can take action against the VA for disability-connected benefits, service-connected disabilities.
And that is, and we're going to get in with what those veteran service organizations, DAV is, and how that works as a 501c4. But in the front end, so your family member, you recognize this, you see these are the things to do. The two are just making really clear off of that point. You are concurrently going to get them enrolled in the veteran benefits portion of that and the veteran healthcare side of that. There's a really important document to make that happen, right? And it is the
DD-214.
The DD-214. The DD-214, in a nutshell,
that's the proof of your military service.
And it's got the dates that you served, it's got dates that you would have been on active duty, not on in reserve duty, every time you got called up. It's got any service awards, anytime you served overseas, it makes a note, denotes all those things. There's several different copies of the DD-214 kind of noted down at the bottom of that. There's member copies and other things. Does any of that matter, or if they've got a DD-214 in general, they can probably...
Yeah, if they have a DD-214 in general, we can get the rest.
Awesome.
We can get whatever we need.
Yeah.
We just need a place to start.
Great.
So we need to be able to show that they served for a certain period of time. We need to know what theaters they served in so that we know what kind of things that they qualify for.
Yeah.
Congress is constantly passing new laws to provide veterans with benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And the DAV has a lobby in Congress, and we lobby Congress for those laws. And right now we're working on the PFAS for contaminated waters and at the bases across the country and the burn pits.
Yeah.
We're working on that.
It's a big thing for my generation in particular, overseas in the Middle East. So there's waste. It's a whole city of soldiers working through that, and that waste gets burned off. The toxic fumes from that waste has caused problems that manifested for us in ways that maybe things like Agent Orange during the Vietnam conflict or others did there, right? There's a term you talked with me earlier that I think was important to know because you might hear it called a presumptive benefit. Can you tell me
about that? Yes, I was just going to mention that. So presumptive benefits, that's what we lobby for in Congress. We want to make these conditions presumptive, which means that we presume, because you were in a certain area serving at a certain time, the government presumes that you have that condition.
Yeah.
So if you show symptoms of, say for Vietnam, Parkinson's or cancer or ischemic heart disease, there's a list of 23, I believe, right now for Vietnam veterans. Those are assumed to be a condition that you would have as a result of your service in theater.
Yeah, and I admit that these are things that are happening to other people that served in there. That DD-214 right. is what shows you were there. And then in time, that health record reformed from while you were in should show a change of health there, but also that these things, that doesn't necessarily, it didn't necessarily have to manifest during that period.
Right.
These are things that could come later without big challenge or difficulty.
Right, so when we file your claim for disability connected benefits, service connected disability benefits,
yeah.
The government doesn't contest those claims because they're presumptive. And so you'll get your disability rating quicker and get your health care benefits started that way.
And those ratings are important. Well, I'm going to make another presumption up here. I'm going to presume it's a good opportunity for us to grab a little bit of coffee in here. And we're going to take a break on that as a plug into seeing this from behind the scenes, but the, how about the front end and a word about the Refuge Coffee.
Hey guys, this is Tony at the Parent Projects Podcast, and if you are powered by coffee the way that I'm powered by coffee, I think you'll appreciate knowing a way that you can help the last, lost, and least of us that didn't have a great transition. You see, the Refuge Coffee Company is a social enterprise operated by Catholic Charities of Central and Northern Arizona, where they use this coffee and this business model to help homeless veterans at the Manna House Transitional Community get back on their feet. Help a veteran turn a handout into a hand up by giving them the opportunity to earn your business. Purchase coffee today at therefugeaz.com. That's therefugeaz.com. If you order 6 or more bags, shipping will be free. And if you tell them that Parent Project sent you, I'm going to send you a travel coffee mug. Thank you again, and let's get back to the show.
Everybody, again, I've got Tom McCoy, commander of Arizona's Disabled American Veterans. Thanks again for joining us. Let's talk through some critical discussions. So, in the first segment, we walked through and understood from how you see or something like manifest, and we know we've got to get into this system. In getting with the system, we started with a DD-214. It is now time to start pulling some documentation along. What you say matters. Everything is critical. Accuracy, how you explain yourself can be so, so difficult. That was something DAB did really, really well for me, and I'm sure other veteran service organizations can help, but DAB helped me take my experience and put it into words. What is it that a VSO, what is a VSO? How does DAB work as a VSO? What does that mean? And how do you help do what you did for me, for others?
So, the Disabled American Veterans is a chartered veteran service organization. We're chartered by Congress. We're a 501c4, which means we're a social welfare organization. Our goal is to service veterans in getting their claims benefits processed, providing transportation for them to and from their appointments at the hospitals, and providing that transportation network to the VA so that they can get those patients in.
Yeah.
The DAB is very well adapted to writing claims for veterans. Claims are based on Title 38 code, and you have to understand the terminology in that code in order to get your claims processed properly. The DAB service officers are able to do that.
Yeah.
Most chapters across the country have at least one or two service officers that will help the veterans file claims. They're veterans themselves, so they can talk to the veteran, get a better understanding of what needs to be done. They know how to get those records processed. Quite often veterans have seen other medical providers and been told that they have a pre-existing condition. Mm-hmm. It could be something that they encountered in the military and never addressed because they didn't want to go to the VA or they thought that the VA was for the veterans that really need it. I hear that quite often.
Yeah.
And the VA is there for all veterans. And we want to make sure that all veterans take advantage of the benefits that they're entitled to. So that's what the DAB does.
Well, and that coordinated that congressional charter that allows you access to records, for instance, right? You have access to any service records that sit in that, correct?
DAB National Service Officers have full access to your VA records. So they can follow your claim through the claims process at the BVA, and they can initiate all the actions that need to happen throughout that claims process.
And the BVA being the Veteran Benefit Administration portion of the Veterans Affairs for the VA. Because we are kind of the Navy and Army guy, you put us together and we will have more acronyms than you can shake a stick at. I'm pretty sure. And half the time it doesn't almost, usually means about the same thing, but it could be quite different, I've learned.
Yeah.
In some of our terminology for things. I am a part of a couple of 501c19 social organizations. The VFW and the American Legion are pretty common ones. What would be a difference when it comes down to filing a claim or working there? Is that something that that the American Legion would work for us? Or do I see DAV baked into something like that? Or what's the difference in those two things?
We have quite a few DAV service officers who are VFW members and work at VFW posts. We have quite a few chapters in this state that also hold their meetings at VFW posts. So, and the American Legion. And I would like to say that all of VSOs work together for the benefit of our veterans. So if you're in a position where VFW is representing you on a claim and they get stuck, they usually call the DAV because we're certified and we can see where those claims are at in the system and we can help them process those claims through.
That's great. As documents come up and they start working, the military now, DOD and the VA system has a lot of tremendous computer systems. When I first started, my file was in one state. I lived in another state. They were trying to move it around. Depending on where I came out of the military is kind of where it may have started. Nothing was connected. They weren't necessarily connected. I had to wait for snail mail for somebody to find this record and go. Today, that's changed quite a bit, right? Are you still an advocate of printing out and keeping a copy, a personal copy, or having your own electronic copy of all of your medical records?
I do personally believe that that's the way to go. I think when you leave a medical provider's office, if the VA sent you there, and it's not the VA, you want to make sure you get a copy of those records.
Yeah.
Carry those records back to the VA so they have those episodes of care on file in your electronic health record at the VA. That's all very important to your claims process.
Yeah, another important term off of those episodes of care. So those are sometimes the VA, once you get into that system, they're going to send you to see a series of people, to be a series of tests. That's when you're going to really use and lean on those words and the understanding of how to explain your experience and succinctly to a doctor or to a practitioner of some kind that's talking to you. But you have some stuff that may exist from an outside doctor you might not have thought of, your eye doctor that sits over here, your primary care physician over here, and those episodes of care, those times there, those records are still valid and have a role to play in the process, right?
Most definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, any kind of healthcare situation, any records that you have that could possibly pertain to your service-connected disability, you want to make sure you get those records and submit them to your claim.
Yeah, I can think, top of the things you're hearing, especially in my generation with earplugs that they had a difficult time, functioning properly and that. The last thing I'll kind of hang off of this is there are a lot of organizations that will charge you to walk through the process of getting a DD-214 or working through those things. What does DAV look like? How are you funded? How do you get paid? Should the veteran or the family be prepared to pay something to set up a claim?
So the DAV operates, we are free. All our services are free to the veteran. Assist any veteran, they don't need to be a member of our organization. Our funding comes through donations and bequests. And our national organization pays our national service offices across the country to service veteran claims. The CSOs, which are the chapter level service officers, volunteer. And everybody within the state organization volunteers. So it's a volunteer organization. All our services are free to the veteran, and you don't have to be a member of our organization to receive those benefits.
That's great. And I think the top thing I to really stress off of this is a veteran is starting, or presumptive or potential veteran is starting, and you're seeing that a conversation needs to happen. What are the best ways to make the veteran-to-veteran conversation happen with DAV? How do they get a hold of somebody here in Arizona?
So the best way to get in touch with a DAV chapter service officer, which would be the first level of communication, would be to go to DAV.org.
Okay.
That's our national site. And you can find the state or location that you're in, and it'll give you a listing of all the chapters in your area. And you can just call a local chapter and talk to a service officer.
Great.
make an appointment, go over there and talk to them about your military experiences and what you're experiencing now, and see if you can file a claim.
Yeah, and that veteran-to-veteran conversation is probably one of the most critical ones, but will you guys talk to a family member and
sure.
just trying to get their bearings?
Yeah, I get calls from family members all the time.
Yeah.
Wives that don't know what to do because their husband doesn't use the VA and they don't know what kind of services are available to them.
Yeah.
I'm happy to help anyone that calls. We also provide assistance to veterans who are in a crisis situation. They can't pay their rent, or their electricity has been shut off, or they need a ride home from Oklahoma. You know, we'll do whatever we can to take care of those veterans.
I love it. Well, and talking about leaning in during the time of your parent project, this is what DAV can do when a veteran's flagged is something we look forward to building into with our senior moves, capacity with that new application tool. And we just want to take a second here to and unveil and remind everybody what's coming down the pipe here. So we'll take a quick little break and let everybody catch up and see what's coming. Tom McCoy, Arizona Commander for Disabled American Veterans. Tom, as you're going through this process, there's a stigma that we kind of worked through in getting out there. You mentioned the two biggest ones that I've experienced in life and then felt and heard from others. One being, I don't belong here. This is for people who are much worse off than I am, or two, just that fear of things, particularly PTSD. Mental stress and the impacts of war or military service, even in the stress of what it takes to do that. Talk about the stigma of PTSD. How is that? How are you guys seeing that at DAV? How do you tackle that when it's coming in the door? When you sense that somebody's afraid of one of those two objections?
I think the biggest stigma is what the veteran views of himself. He has to get past the thought that he's flawed or that he's weak or that he doesn't stand up or, he doesn't qualify. PTSD is a very difficult thing to treat. There's other mental health conditions that come with that. The anxiety and the stress and the anger and the loss of sleep and the nightmares and all those kinds of things. A lot of families don't know how to deal with that.
Yeah.
They don't know what's going on when that guy comes back from overseas and he's different, and he doesn't want to talk about it. So the best way for us to deal with that is to get in touch with a veteran, with another veteran, because they've been there, they know what that guy is going through, and they can discuss the situation and get him help.
Yeah, we've had these discussions. The military, one of my first commands is a basic training company, and so compartmentalization is used from day one as they come in order to get them focused, and you really need it for anything from will to survive to how to reconsolidate and replan after things go haywire and resetting up. They're important concepts for a warrior. That said, we don't do decompartmentalization at all. Really, it's not something that handles on that front side, and they can have that. This is something that kind of unpack here. Do you see blindside kind of a question, but in the answer maybe no or you don't know, but women veterans, do they have a different experience on the PTSD than men do, or in any of these kind of pushbacks? Is there anything there to be aware of if your veteran is your mother or your grandmother?
Yeah, we have a lot of women veterans in our organization, and a lot of women veterans have suffered mental health issues in different ways than men have. Unfortunately, there's a lot of MST, military sexual trauma, so that's very difficult to deal with, especially for a man to deal with that with a woman. So the VA has a women's health clinic. They're very well suited for dealing with women's crisis and women's mental health issues, as well as their body, their whole health.
That's great. And if that veteran comes up and you guys are sensing that, and the family gives that call, and then you sense that, you can make the connection. To get them into that as they get going. That's great. And we see that especially here at Manor House. That's a part of the you know, this is a men's community, and we definitely saw the need for the women, especially homeless veteran women, that continue to fall back into that cycle, and they see that sexual trauma back out on the street, the difficulties there, and it just needs to be handled differently.
Yeah, and it just exasperates the individual's mental health issues, because once they start to experience multiple traumas, it's harder to treat.
Yeah.
And so you talk about compartmentalizing. It depends on what's in those compartments. You know, they have to break that down and open that up so that they can begin to treat that.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult.
And something to really empathetically attack. You know, your family member who's moving through that, a reason why you really want to have a professional organization that's helping you step outside and that outside perspective, especially a shared combat perspective or shared military perspective experience. Sometimes that's the icebreaker that will let them down the road open something else up.
Yeah, it's a lot easier, like I said, for a veteran to talk to another veteran than it is for him to explain that to his wife.
Yeah.
Who's
yeah.
very emotional about what's happening and doesn't understand why he's going through these things. And when they get older and the children have to step in and take care of them, that's when they really need help from professionals and other veteran organizations. So we're here for them.
So as you start unpacking, you get into that, the other challenge that we really see here in the VA, obviously the Phoenix VA a couple of years ago really made a lot of headlines and difficulties of serving for stuff, and they made some monumental responses to that. But we have some real challenges. There are a lot of, I'm not even sure how many veterans, we have in our state across the board, or what the VA system's trying to encounter, because ultimately that's what we're trying to get.
I know that the Phoenix VA has 100,000 patients, and the Tucson VA is almost double that.
Man, a lot. And so, if you think through that, in healthcare, the pressures post-COVID, of healthcare in general, short staffing, where those things sit. I'll tell you, the VA is my primary healthcare system. And my primary care provider, I have a naturopathic doctor that a private pay and work with, and then I've got a VA doc she's top. She's phenomenal. A phenomenal, phenomenal doctor that walks me into those things, but she's an amazing caseload. Yeah. So again, that documentation, being able to speak clearly, these are things that also become just difficult as people age in general. We see this outside of the VA, when a doctor's office is coming in and they've got 4.5 minutes to hit patient to patient to patient, and you know your family members that get older, they remember that time where they talked about their kids and they talked about some other stuff prior to coming into that. That's a hard transition, and that could be something that of a problem that you may run into as you're working through. What are any ideas if they're struggling or they're getting frustrated or they're getting down about how hard that is, what should they keep in mind if they run into a problem while working through the VA system and you guys are helping them through?
So the Veterans Health Administration, we can provide transportation for those veterans to get to their appointments. The VA also offers telehealth options where they can do video conferencing from home. A lot of cases, veterans are unable to handle those kind of technologies, and a family member is there to help them. Another option is making all your appointments. You want to make sure that you get to your appointments and you get to them on time.
Yeah.
Every time you miss an appointment, you no-show an appointment, that leaves a slot open that somebody could have used, and they have to reschedule you for another appointment. So now you've actually taken up 3 slots. It's very difficult for an organization to handle the number of patients that they have and keep the flow going while patients are missing appointments.
You know, that is a good, we're always looking for those little ones. And that might be a great one to close on, is you're looking for that practical thing to help as they get in through that system. There are processes to solve almost every problem that comes in. There are. They might take time and you need to find someone. There also seems to be somebody to help you that will volunteer and help you find your and work your way through that process out there.
Sure.
But making sure that they are, there's a doctor. Make sure that they're hitting those appointments. If they've got one there, it's a great place to start. You communicate what you just said. It's not just one slot. You can tie up to three slots just by missing an appointment, and that denies other two other veterans the opportunity to get in when they needed to get in. That is something that I think could resonate, where a family member could say to their mom or dad, hey, it's that important. We know it's, we don't want to perpetuate the problem. Can I help you get back and forth? Or it might be a place that they can start chipping in, and then don't expect for it all to unfold magically.
Right.
As you work through that, give it that time to process.
But if they're in a bind,
yeah,
if they're not sure what to do, give us a call at the DAV and we'll be able to give you at least the correct answers.
I love it.
Help you get to where you need to be.
I love it. Commander McCoy, I really appreciate you a lot. Thank you very much for being on the show today and helping our family members work through the current project.
Thanks for having me.
How much better.
All right.
Well, that's it for the team this week, and thanks for joining us. If you've enjoyed the content, remember to subscribe and to share this episode on the app that you're using right now. Your reviews and your comments, they really help us expand our reach as well as our perspective. So if you have time, also drop us a note. Let us know how we're doing. For tips and tools to clarify your parent project, simplify communication with your stakeholders, and verify the professionals that you choose, you can find us on YouTube, follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Thanks again for trusting us. Until our next episode, behold and be held.
Thank you for listening to this Parent Projects podcast production. To access our show notes, resources, or forums, join us on your favorite social media platform or go to parentprojects.com. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any decisions, consult a professional. This show is copyrighted by Family Media and Technology Group Incorporated and Parent Projects LLC. Written permissions must be granted before syndication or rebroadcast.